Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Always good to be here on Sunday night.
Yes, it's good to be back with you.
Paul Wilbur music fading out in the background.
Into infinity.
That's yes. Yeah.
Paul will be back.
Yeah, I'm sure. He'll be probably be back during the breaks.
Yeah.
We have him on standby, and periodically we call him into the studio
and
say,
in the green
do a
room.
Song.
It's amazing how the whole band just sets up just like that.
Yeah. So tonight's show, we're going to do kind of a little interesting thing about, you know, last week we talked about how Jesus was light and how he was salvation and how he was a great light and how he was a light that came into this land of darkness in Galilee. And when he went to Capernaum, the prophecy that made by Isaiah was literally fulfilled. Today, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to do a different prophet who's one of those minor prophets.
But he's one of your favorites.
But he's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Yes. Malachi.
Malachi.
Yes. His
really?
Italian name was Malachi, but his Hebrew name was Malachi. And
I didn't know that.
That's a little Paul Wilbur joke.
Oh.
But Paul Wilbur always says Malachi was the first Italian prophet. Yeah. Anyway,
you got to fit him in somewhere.
Yeah. Malachi is more known for the passage that's in chapter 3, verse 10, which is about tithing, which is a very important passage, but
yes,
we're not going to talk about tithing today. Should tithe to your church.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that. But we're going to do a little earlier in chapter 3. We're going to have Stephen read Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. We'll give you a second to get to it. But
Okay. Since
you're all students of the scriptures, you know exactly where all the books are, you're to it by now.
So this is after the book of Hebrews?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Malachi was the last prophet 400 years before Jesus was born.
I know. I shouldn't say that.
And starts the intertestamental period, or what's sometimes called the silent period, where there were no prophets.
Yeah, for a couple hundred years.
400.
Yeah.
400 years. Anyway, Okay. Go ahead. Read 3, 1 to 4.
Thus says the Lord God, lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sift refining and purifying silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifice to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by.
Hmm. Pretty interesting. So here's Malachi. It says, a messenger is going to prepare his way.
Right.
A messenger is going to, you know, we talked during the Advent season about John the Baptist.
Who could that have been?
Yeah. We talked about John the Baptist. We talked about how the prophet Isaiah, who wrote way more than Malachi, but how the prophet Isaiah talked about this. You know, he says, you know, I send my messenger before you. I send my messenger. So Malachi says, a messenger prepares his way. He's going to prepare the way for the king, for the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, John the Baptist, who, of course, was that messenger.
Yes.
And, you know, John the Baptist begins with preaching repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we talked last week, Jesus does too. He begins his ministry by saying, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it clearly connected him to the preaching that John the Baptist had done.
Yeah.
And it was a time where, you know, I think you said a few shows ago around Christmas time that there was a lot of anticipation that the Messiah was coming soon.
Right.
The prophecies were in place. There had been a quiet time. The world was kind of at peace because the Romans were there. Everything was kind of like sort of gearing up for this. The scepter had departed from Judah. And some of the people actually knew these scriptures. There was probably more scriptural knowledge than there is now. scriptural knowledge now is rapidly decreasing.
Yeah.
Which is a pet peeve of mine. But anyway, expectations were up. And, you know, in John's gospel, the Apostle John is going to say, you know, this is the Messiah. There's no other Messiah. This is the Lord. This is the God-man. This is the Christ. There isn't going to be anyone else. And there's going to be a messenger that comes before him to be his herald. His name wasn't Herald, but he was a herald. And so, you know, he says, the Lord that you seek will suddenly come to the temple. That's a pretty cool prophecy.
Yeah, it is.
Suddenly. There wasn't some planning involved. You know, he says he's the messenger of the covenant is going to suddenly come to the temple. So these people were waiting for the Messiah. And how does he suddenly come to the temple? Well, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when Joseph and Mary take 40-day-old baby Jesus to the temple for the presentation, which was commanded by the law at day 40 for a boy. For the boy, the male who opens the womb is consecrated to the Lord. They take 40-day-old Jesus to the temple, and the Messiah who you seek suddenly comes to the temple. The Lord who you seek suddenly comes to the temple. And what a day. You know, here they are. The people who were at the temple were going about their business. Simeon and Anna said, wow, there he is. We talked about how Simeon, you know, ran up to Mary and literally picks the baby up. And he's holding the baby while he's saying these things.
Yeah.
And about how he's the glory of Israel and a light to the Gentiles. And Israel's glory, of course, was God, the true God. They had God as their covenant king. They were his covenant people. He had given them the law, the Shekinah glory. They were the ones that had the Shekinah glory. They had the Torah. God had given them his laws. They had the prophets. They had the wisdom. They had all these things. They had the expectation of a redeemer. But now this older man, Simeon, says, this baby is the glory of Israel.
Yeah.
So he's being a prophet in the sense of all those things that were thought to be the glory of Israel. Now, this baby is the glory of Israel. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he came to the temple. You know, Mary and Joseph didn't call ahead and say, is it okay if we bring our new baby over, say, tomorrow at 3:30? Or how about on the 17th at 11 a.m.? They came to the temple. The Messiah, the Lord that you seek, will suddenly come to the temple. And this happened again 33 years later on Palm Sunday, where also fulfilling the prophecy in Zechariah, the king comes riding on a donkey. Mm-hmm. And we you know, we'll talk more about that as we get closer to Passover / Easter. But, you know, the Messiah comes into the city, down the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, into the Eastern Gate, and he goes directly to the temple. Nobody that day was saying, the Pharisees weren't saying, the Sanhedrin wasn't saying, well, maybe today the Messiah is going to show up. Mm-hmm. When they took him there for the presentation, the Pharisees weren't saying, do you know, I think today the Messiah is going to come to here to the temple. Mm-hmm. He suddenly comes. Palm Sunday, he comes again. After 70 AD, there was no more temple. There has not been a temple right. since then. So he had to go there before 70 AD in order for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And he went twice. He actually fulfilled Malachi's prophecy twice. Now, maybe if there's a third temple and Jesus comes back and walks in the Eastern Gate and goes to the new temple, that may be another fulfillment. We don't know that yet. But he fulfilled Malachi's prophecy twice. He suddenly went to the temple.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're, as you're outlining the introduction here, when Jesus comes into the temple, he, you know, Mary and Joseph are bringing him there unannounced, as you said. Mm-hmm. I was thinking back to, you know, when the three wise men came.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple shows ago, we talked about that. and, well, the wise men, the Magi from the East, and how they were coming to pay homage to the newborn king because they saw his star and it's rising. And they come into the city, and there wasn't a big party going on because the newborn king of the Jews was just born. Matter of fact, there was nothing going on. There was no celebrations. There was no fanfare. Herod hears about it, and he calls them and has a meeting with them. He calls the scribes together. Tell me about where's the king of the Jews supposed to be born? And they get it, and they go all the places of scripture, and they say, well, it's, you know, in the city of David, town of Nazareth. But yet, they don't go and search for him. But the wise men continue on their journey and look for him. And, you know, I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves, are we, am I one of the wise men that continues on the journey and searches for the Lord? Or am I like the one who showed Herod all the places in scripture where he could be found, but I don't go and seek him out?
That's good. Yeah.
And because if the Lord's coming into the temple and suddenly he's there unannounced, you don't know when the Lord's going to come into your life.
Exactly.
I didn't have it planned out that, oh, today I'm going to encounter the Lord and my life's going to change dramatically. Let me get ready for it. I mean, there were things that were happening that led up to that, but it wasn't told to me that, okay, on this day, Steve, now I, you know, you're going to, I'm going to encounter you and your life's going to be radically transformed and changed and you're going to be doing this for me. It didn't happen. You know, it doesn't happen like that.
That's right.
So as you were saying, there was this great anticipation of the Lord coming, but there was this long period of no prophets. 400 years. Silence. You know, and then all of a sudden, there he is. And it says, you know, he's going to, but who can endure the day of his coming? And what strikes me about this, it says, thus the Lord God says, lo, I am sending my messenger, one messenger, to prepare the way before me. One messenger and one Messiah.
Right.
Not many.
Exactly. Exactly. And you raise a good point. You know, he comes, you know, he may come to any of us suddenly. Like if somebody would have told me one day in 1995, well, tomorrow you're going to encounter Jesus in a very personal way. I would have rolled my eyes, said, whatever. And I'd have gone about my business thinking, what a wacko. Because that would have made zero sense to me. In fact, a very good friend of mine who's a really, really, really an awesome sister in the Lord, and if you're listening, Margie, that's you, remembers the day when she met me in 1990, which was about 5 years before I became a believer. And she said to me, and I don't really remember the interaction, but I met her in a hospital and she had a Bible sitting on her bed. And I walked into the room and she said, do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior? And she said, I rolled my eyes and said, no. And then I went on with my business. So now whenever she comes over to visit, we laugh about that because she always says, remember that time at the hospital? And, you know, we can laugh about it now, but, you know, there I was just going about my business, walking in darkness, didn't know I was walking in darkness. I thought I was having fun. I thought I was there. I thought everything was great.
You know, you share that. And there was a, when my wife and I were still dating before we got married, my sister went up to Billy Graham to see Billy Graham in Cleveland.
June of 94.
Yeah.
I was there.
You were there.
Yes.
Well, my then soon to be wife went with my sister and they came back and, you know, my brother and I kind of scoffed and ridiculed both of them. And I think back to that, and I didn't think anything of it at that time. And I just made some snide comment. And You know, I think about that. By the grace of God, my wife, we still got married. Mm-hmm. We still came to the Lord together.
Yeah.
So when you're walking in darkness, you can say some really dopey things.
Mm-hmm. I went that night because Billy Graham was a famous person.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife said, why don't we go? I said, well, okay, he's a famous person. I'd like to see him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember what he talked about. I saw him, you know, on his stage there over second base and, you know, he's, you know, he talked. And then when it was over and they did the altar call, I stood up and go, okay, I saw him. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
And
where are all those people going?
Why are they rushing to second base?
They just want to run around the bases.
Yeah. That's what, you know, and as we're talking about this, you know, when somebody refutes, like when you're sharing the gospel with somebody and somebody refutes it and they go, well, you know, you're narrow-minded and, mm-hmm. you know, you just believe this. What they don't see is that I was once where they were standing.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why I'm sharing mm-hmm. the light yeah. of the gospel with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, very good.
Because I know where I was.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell them, I was where you were at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much better here. It's much better here mm-hmm. in the threshold of the house of God than being out there in the darkness.
I used to think Christians were the most boring people because people would come, you know, at work and say, oh, tonight at my church, we're doing mm-hmm. this. And then, oh, yesterday at my church. And it's like, geez, what? Okay.
Yeah.
What? Why do you want to go? Oh, this is, why are you so excited about going to your church?
It's kind of ironic that, you know, the person who doesn't believe encounters the person who does believe, and they kind of think, okay, you must have just came out of the womb like that.
That's your birth.
And it's not, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And then it's just interesting interacting with people in that manner of how God calls us to evangelize people
mm-hmm.
and how he calls us to share the gospel.
Sure.
And our personal encounter with Christ is probably the most powerful testimony that we have
mm-hmm.
of evangelization to that person who has not encountered Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. Especially when they knew you before and they know you now.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, we've all had experiences like that. And I had an experience with a woman we both know who I used to work with, who used to shake her head and say, I don't believe it.
Carol. Yeah, Carol.
And then I had, and then, hi, Carol, if you're listening. And then I had another experience when I was asked to speak at a Foursquare church in North Ridgeville. And I saw a woman that I used to work with some years before who I used to, you know, kind of give a hard time to because she was always so excited they were going to go to their church to do something. And I used mm-hmm. to say, that's exciting. I mean, I try not to go there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not go there. So then I went up to her and I said, do you remember me? And she goes, I remember you. And I said, well, I just want you to know that I'm different now. And she said, I guess so. You're speaking at my church. So that was pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, testimonies are a very powerful tool. I love hearing people's testimonies.
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh,
get the banners out.
Now. Yeah. Get the banners. Okay. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Righteous. join the Lord, ye righteous ones.
Sing for joy in the Lord, ye righteous ones.
Sing to him a new song. Let your heart rejoice in him.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt.
Joy in the Lord, ye righteous
ones. Sing for joy in the Lord, ye righteous ones.
Sing for joy in the Lord, ye righteous
ones. Sing for joy in the Lord, ye righteous ones.
Bless his holy name.
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 With shouts of joy
and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
Shouts of joy and victory.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I couldn't catch my breath there. That's why I was hesitating a little bit. Yeah, the shouts of joy. And, you know, we talked about that last time. Because when you encounter this great light, and we're not talking about some weird new age thing. Right. We're talking about Jesus the Messiah. Mm-hmm. You know, and your whole life changes. You want to dance around and sing.
You do.
Well, I sing quietly and don't really dance that much.
Oh, come on. Don't be bashful. Just shout it out.
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about Malachi and how the Lord you seek will suddenly come to the temple. It says, the Lord of hosts says this. You know, that's one of God's highest titles is the Lord of hosts. It's only used a handful of times in the whole scripture. And I forgot where it is where it's used the first time. But it's, you know, the Lord of hosts, Lord all capitalized, of course, means, you know, the Lord of the hosts of heaven. So in other words, the ruler of all of heaven says, mm-hmm. this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no higher authority. This isn't like, you know, maybe sometime this is going to happen. Or I heard rumors that someday the Lord's going to come to the temple. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord of hosts says this is going to happen. So there can't be any more sure promise. And it says we're going to delight in him. He's going to be the messenger of the covenant. Now we know that. The old covenant was a covenant of law. Moses was the mediator. And those of you who took my Torah class understand that. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant. It was sealed in blood. It was the blood of animals. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, which is a covenant of grace, which is also sealed in blood, but it's sealed in his blood, not the blood of animals.
Right.
So he's the mediator of the covenant. He's the messenger of the covenant. He's the messenger of the good news. The good news is that we're saved by grace and not by law. We're right. given something that we don't deserve. We're given unmerited favor, and our punishment is diverted away from us because he took it. This mm-hmm. is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of Christianity. And so when he comes to the temple, he's the messenger that we seek. And then he goes into this, Malachi goes into this thing about judgment, but he says, we delight in him. Mm-hmm. So we delight in him, even though he's a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the consolation of Israel, as John the Baptist said, as Simeon said, but even though he's a judge, and it says, you know, he's going to separate this, he's going to refine the silver, he's going to use, you know, a launderer's soap, the fuller's lye to get rid of spots. You know, he's going to do that. Mm-hmm. So in the sense, he's a judge. And when he comes again, he's going to have a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth and have an iron rod in his hand.
Right.
Which is, of course, a poetic way of saying he's coming in judgment.
Yes.
But we are going to delight in his coming. Because the second coming is going to be kind of like this.
Right.
You know, he says, you don't know the day or the hour. You got to be ready. If you knew the day or the hour, you'd be like the guy who won't let his house be broken into because he knows what time the thief is coming.
Mm-hmm.
At an hour you least expect, the Son of Man's going to come. So it's the Lord that you seek is suddenly going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's coming as a judge, we're going to delight in his coming because we want him to come.
Right. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, we talk about that God is rich in mercy.
Yes.
And this time that we are experiences is really a time of God's grace and mm-hmm. favor, if you will, because God, you know, in scripture it tells us God's patience is so that we would come to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not, you know, sometimes we want to be like, is it Jonah? Who was going to Nineveh and he wanted to yes. see the destruction of the city?
It was Jonah.
And then when God relented, he was kind of bummed out that he didn't see the show. He was like,
come on, man, let's blast them.
Let's give it to him. Come on, Lord. I've been sitting in the belly of the big fish for 3 days. I came out here and I repent. I told them to repent and they sat in sackcloth and ashes. Well, let's get to it.
Yeah, they're dirty Gentiles. Let them have it.
Yeah, let them have it. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, am I like Jonah, yeah. waiting for the Lord's judgment and for the Lord to inflict judgment on the people that I'm yeah. preaching to or that I'm not yes. really that I'm trying to evangelize.
Yes.
Or do I see this as a time of God's grace and mercy
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you're talking about Jesus is like the refiner's fire or like the fuller's lye. Mm. You know, he finds us
mm-hmm.
and he takes us and he starts, there's a spot on you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me clean that.
Yes, exactly.
And I want to purify you. I want to refine you like gold or silver.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take all the impurities out of you that you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Do we see this time as a time of grace where it's a time of purification for us? Mm-hmm. Or do we see it as, I'm going to tell my neighbor that, hey, if you don't stop sinning,
yeah, you're going to hell.
You're going to hell. And, oh, wait a minute. I sin too.
Yeah.
Oops. I'm over there beating my neighbor over the head because I see this speck in their eye.
Exactly.
And I got this beam out of mine.
That's right.
And so, are we proclaiming the favor of God
mm-hmm.
and the mercy of God and that this is the good news?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we casting judgment?
Mm-hmm.
We got to be very careful.
We got to
be very careful. We got to stay on message. I mean, you can't tell somebody who's sinning that they're not sinning, obviously.
Right.
But there's always, God always invites us to come back to him.
Mm-hmm.
The devil tries to condemn us
right.
and gets us to think, oh, God could never forgive me.
Yeah,
that's never from the Lord.
That's right.
And exactly. God's grace always draws us near.
Yeah. And if you think it can't happen to you, remember the disciples that said to Jesus, hey, should we call down fire on those guys over there? Let's just blast them.
It happened to them too.
Yeah, they were mean to us. Let's just blast them.
Come on, Lord. We want to see a light show, you know?
Yeah. And and Jonah, you know, he couldn't handle this.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were going to blast the place.
He sat there, you know, really bummed out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we don't want to be that way because, like you say, we got to present the message. And, you know, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, we always have to be ready to give an explanation for the hope that lies within us
mm-hmm.
with gentleness and respect.
Right.
So when somebody says, oh, so what is it with you? How come you always think this, you know, I don't get this. You don't say, well, that's because you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And that you explain to them why you're like the way
right.
you are. You explain to them that maybe they need to consider this because let's take a look, you know, take a look at your life and see where you are. You know, not you better repent because you might die today, which mm-hmm. is true.
You might.
Yes, you might.
Man.
But, you know, the people, when you attack like that, of course, their defenses go up.
Big time, yeah.
Oh, and then, you know, you can be gentle and start to quote scriptures, but their shields are up.
They're not listening
to anything that you're saying.
And you know, if we're honest with ourselves and we think about how the Lord drew us,
mm-hmm.
those times of grace where I was drawn to yeah. the Lord were always times of God showed me something and there was the opportunity to turn mm-hmm. and repent.
Yeah.
As you think about it, Jesus always would tell the person, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Your faith has saved you.
Right.
You know, you're healed. Go mm-hmm. and show yourselves to yeah. the priest.
Exactly.
He was very harsh
yeah.
with the Pharisees because mm-hmm. they were the teachers of the law mm-hmm. and they were supposed to know better.
Yeah.
And they were just heaping up burdens upon the people. Yeah. So it was very hard. He was very stern with them.
Yeah. And you know, Simeon, you know, we talked about Simeon a minute ago, and it just struck me when you were saying that is that Simeon that day of the presentation also says to Mary, you know, the baby's there, Joseph's there. He says to Mary, you know, that I don't remember the exact wordings. I don't have it in front of me, but, you know, he's going to lay bare the thoughts of men. In other words, everyone's thoughts and everyone's actions are going to be judged by him, or we're going to consider them in light of him. And in light of him, all your thoughts, actions, and ideas and activities are going to be evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes into this, like, separating the silver and the dross and using the soap to take away the spots. And it says, you know, he's going to purify you. Either yeah. either you're going to come to him and he's going to purify you, or you're going to reject him and he's going to judge you. Because if you reject him, he's not going to clean you with the soap or take away the dross. You're going to be condemned because he's coming as judge.
Yeah.
And this is why Malachi talks about this business with the sons of Levi. You know, the Levites, of course, were the priestly tribe.
Mm-hmm.
They offered the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were sinners just like everybody else.
Right.
You know, we're going to talk about the book of Hebrews in a second. But, you know, now as followers of the Messiah that we are, you know, we've been cleansed by him and we've had the spots taken away. Mm-hmm. And now we can offer worship and we can offer praise in a way that's much more pleasing to him. Then when you have Levites say, oh, here's another lamb to kill. And here's another lamb to kill. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the we being followers of Messiah, you know, we're a nation of priests and prophets and so forth and all these things. Whereas right. we can offer praise because he's cleaning us up.
Right. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation.
Mm-hmm.
We are not direct descendants of Abraham because mm-hmm. we're not Jewish,
mm-hmm.
but we are spiritual descendants of Abraham through the blood of Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Paul talks about that in Hebrews. And, you know, what you were referring to before is where Simeon says, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce. And he's speaking to Mary there.
Mm-hmm.
And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is all the Messiah suddenly coming to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
This is the light that we talked about before. And, you know, in Psalm 24, you know, it talks about the King of Glory is going to come in. You know, it's like, open up all the stuff because the King of Glory is coming in.
Yeah. Lift up your gates.
Yeah.
Grow higher, ancient doors.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's coming into the city. He's coming into the temple, but he's also coming into each of us. We have to open up. We
exactly.
have to be ready for him to come in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have to open our hearts.
Exactly.
And, there was a scripture reading that I was looking at earlier this week where it says, you know, things are set before man and whatever he chooses will be given to him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of where it's at, but that there's, you know, God commands no one to sin.
Mm-hmm.
He gives no one license to sin,
mm-hmm.
but things are set before us
yeah.
and we're left to choose.
Yes.
And that's whatever right. we choose will be given to us.
Yeah.
If we choose the way of righteousness,
mm-hmm.
we will become righteous. Mm-hmm. If we choose the way of ungodliness, we become ungodly.
Yeah. Yeah. So the King of Glory is coming in. You know, Malachi's talking about him coming into a literal temple at some point,
mm-hmm.
which he did.
Yes.
Twice. And, you know, he's going to come back again physically in a way that, you know, every eye is going to see him and everyone's going to have to give an account. And, you know, if you're walking in the darkness and you've rejected him, the account's not going to be a very good one. It's not going to be a very good, well, I don't even want to say a very good day. It's not going to be a very good rest of eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no longer a day. We're dealing
yeah.
with
it's not like having a hard day at work and then getting to go home right. at night. And so, you know, these are very interesting. And then, you know, David writes Psalm 24. Would you want to read a little bit of Psalm 24?
Sure. Do you want to you
let's read like 7 through 10.
7 through 10? Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty? The Lord, mighty in battle? Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, your ancient portals, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory.
Hmm.
And when we're saying Lord, it's all in capital
all
letters.
Capitals. So the Lord of hosts, you know, that I love that song that's actually by Matt Redman and Chris Tomlin sings about it, the God of angel armies is always at our side.
Yeah.
So the God of the hosts of heaven, all the beings that are in heaven, all these glorious things that are in heaven, he's the one who's coming into the temple. Mm-hmm. He's the one who's coming in to us. He's the King of Glory. He's the one who's coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, this again is a psalm. This is, you know, 950 to 1,000 years before Jesus. David is actually equating the one who's coming to the Lord of hosts. You know, it's another reference. You know, David, most people don't think of David as a prophet. I mean, a lot of people don't think of David as a prophet. There's so much prophecy in the Psalms.
Right.
But there's a prophecy of, you know, Messiah is going to be God who's coming.
Right. Well, I mean, that's true. Most people don't think of David as a prophet. They think of him as a psalmist. And
kind of like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you sing the Psalms all the time.
Yeah, I got the harp.
And
did he invent the minor chord?
I think David did invent the minor chord. And, I think God really invented it. He just transferred it to David. I forgot what that was. So we don't think of David as there's prophecy in the Psalms, and there is so much. Mm-hmm. There is so much in the Psalms that is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. We could do a show on that sometime.
Yeah.
All the prophecies are in the Psalms.
All 150
of them. There'd be a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Anyway. We need to be like on the air for 8 hours. But anyway. Yeah. Now we're gonna move to Hebrews. Because this kind of shows the other side of the Messiah who's coming, the other side of the King who's coming to the temple suddenly, the messenger of the covenant. How about Hebrews chapter 2? I love the book of Hebrews.
Did I mention it was my favorite? Your favorite book?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Let's not get into that discussion.
It might be my second favorite after Romans.
Shall I read from
14 to 18?
14 to 18?
Yeah.
Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested.
Oof. So now we're talking about the humanity of Messiah.
Mm.
We talked about the divinity. You know, he's the same as the God of hosts.
Right.
Same, the God of hosts is coming. But now there's another part of Messiah that the writer's talking about here. You know, earlier in chapter 2 of Hebrews, that same chapter, it talks about, when we understand this, how can we neglect so great a salvation? You know, there's so great of a salvation. The salvation is so awesome that if we reject it, what do we have left? Nothing.
Nothing.
We can go back to the law and say, I can do 613 laws, no problem. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because that won't last 15 minutes. But, you know, we can't neglect a salvation like this. This passage that Stephen just read really talks about the incarnation of the Messiah. He becomes man so that he can destroy death, so that he can destroy the power of death, the power of the devil. Because death is our greatest fear. This is one of the powers the devil has over us, because we're afraid to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it says we're clay pots with glory inside. Well, right. The devil wants you to think about the clay pot. Hey, man, listen, clay pot, you're going to die someday.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Then you know, you got glory within you, but you're worried about the pot that it's in. And the devil plays on that fear of death.
Right.
And, you know, the devil wants you to worry about your physical death. He wants your spiritual death, but wants you to worry about your spiritual death.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Paul Wilbur's back. I told you we call him in periodically.
There he
is. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Another awesome song. That goes without saying. So, this passage in the second chapter of Hebrews, talking about the human nature of Jesus, came as a man so death could be destroyed. Remember, we did a whole series on Jesus came to give us abundant life. Mm-hmm. And later in this chapter, same chapter of Hebrews, I love this chapter of Hebrews. It says, I think it's my favorite book. He says, he tastes death for everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, he tastes death so we don't have to taste it, you know. But physical death, most, you know, we're all going to taste unless he comes back and we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual death is much worse than the physical death,
yeah,
obviously. But the idea of, you know, death, fear of death keeping us in bondage, you know, he helps to destroy that.
Well, if you think about that, I mean, Jesus took upon himself all the sins of humanity.
Yeah, that's right.
And by doing that, he was separated from God.
Yes.
Jesus, who was with God before all time, is now separated with God. And that's why he cries out from the cross.
Yes.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Because he experienced the separation from the love that existed there with him and the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we, I don't think that's something that we can even comprehend or understand until we, you know, until we're face to face with God.
Yeah. And it, he points out, the writer points out, because we don't know who wrote it, so we'll call him the writer. The writer points out he didn't do this for the angels.
Right.
You know, when this struck me a few years ago, I was dumbfounded that there's no plan of salvation for the angels that fell.
Yeah.
They can't repent. They can't come back. Mm. We can repent and we can come back.
Yeah.
Because the Messiah takes on our nature. You know, didn't do this for the angel. They were left in their destruction. Mm. I mean, when things are wrapped up, they're going to be in hell for the rest of eternity.
Yep.
And they can't, you know, they can't get out. They can't get out. They can't repent now and they can't get out of hell later. And so it says in that chapter, he becomes like his brethren. He becomes truly man. So our nature is united with the divine nature. Without confusion, without mixture, there's both natures in Jesus. It's not 50-50 or 80-20 or 70-30. Right. It's both natures 100%.
100%.
So he becomes like his brothers, his brethren, becomes truly man. Mm-hmm. You know, he couldn't send an angel to save us.
Right.
You know, he couldn't just come in his divinity to save us because God can't die.
Right.
But a man can die.
Right.
And so the human nature was the sacrifice. You know, the Hebrews points out that there, the high priest was taken from among men. So it couldn't be anything but a man to be high priest. You couldn't have a horse become the high priest.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have a lamb become the high priest.
Right.
It had to be taken from among men. So his humanity taken from among men, and he was literally the seed of Abraham, since he was related to Abraham,
mm-hmm.
he was chosen to be the eternal high priest.
Right.
So when he becomes a man, he can die, because God can't die.
Right.
So he becomes the bridge. He spans this gulf that happened with the fall of Adam and Eve. So this is such an overwhelming plan of salvation
mm-hmm.
that the divine and the human nature would be in the same being
right.
that then would become the eternal sacrifice and the eternal high priest.
Right. And, you know, as we were talking about before, that this is a time of God's grace, and we see that the writer of Hebrews here says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest mm-hmm. before God to expiate the sins of the people, because he himself was tested through what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested.
Yeah.
You know, if you come to help somebody,
mm-hmm.
you offer your complete assistance to them.
Yeah.
I want to help you.
Yeah.
If you come to judge and condemn somebody, well, you're not there to help them at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to, you know, put the last nail in the coffin, so to speak. But Jesus comes to help us,
mm-hmm.
and he helps us in our time of weakness. And that's why, you know, if we call out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me,
mm-hmm.
because we're in a covenant with God, God says, here I am.
Yes.
He's there for us. We may not physically feel him. We mm-hmm. may not physically see him.
Yeah.
And we might not get the answer at that very second. Mm-hmm. But he's there for mm-hmm. us.
And he can be a merciful priest because, as it says in chapter 4,
exactly.
we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses because he has our nature.
Right. And because he has been tested through that.
That's
and
right.
He has been tested through suffering.
Yes. And so the justice and the honor of God can be satisfied by this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way it can. Sacrificing a lamb doesn't really do it.
Right.
You know, sacrificing any animal doesn't really do it.
No.
If he would have sent an angel to die, well, that wouldn't have really done it. But mm-hmm. the God-man is the only solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so this chapter really shows how the incarnation of the Messiah, of Jesus, is so important to this whole plan of salvation, because it's the only way that the problem can be solved.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way that reconciliation can come, which means it can only come through him.
Right.
Like Peter said, there's not salvation in any other name. This is the only way. And I know many of you who are listening who think we're narrow-minded and we're saying, well, you know, and you're thinking, oh, come on, you guys, there's got to be, there is no other way.
There's no other name.
And you have to think about this, because there's no other way that you can approach the holiness of God in your current state than through Jesus.
through the blood of Messiah.
Yes. Right. And watch, I would encourage you to watch The Passion of the Christ if you've never seen it, or if you have seen it, watch it again, and then think, well, if there's some other way I can go to heaven, why did he do this?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he have gone through this horrible death unless he was mentally ill? Why would he have gone through this horrible death if I can be saved by being good, and if I can be saved by being nice, or if I can be saved by following Buddha? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But as a human, eternal, as the God-man who's an eternal high priest, in his humanity, he can sympathize with our weaknesses. And the whole point of the book of Hebrews is about sacrifice and high priest. He's the mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the high priest was the mediator, he's the eternal mediator.
Right.
And Paul later is going to tell Timothy, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this is what the whole point of the book of Hebrews. I think Hebrews is my favorite book.
I think so. And he stands before God as our advocate and says, not guilty.
Yes.
The devil's sitting there accusing him and going, Phil did this and this mm-hmm. and this. And God turns to Jesus and, not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil goes, I lost another case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, I don't—
And I actually am guilty of those
things.
And
you are guilty of those things. But in Christ Jesus, your sin is washed away by his blood. So wow. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling with anything in your life, turn to the Lord and ask him. Call upon the name of Jesus, because it is the name above all names, and he will free you from your sins and bring you into his kingdom.
Ooh, amen.
God bless everyone.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back again next week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.